God steps into places where death lurks and fear unspools us. God stands with us, always with us. The Almighty declares that Jesus, this wise teacher, this caring healer, this gracious friend, this beloved child of heaven, is not dead. The tomb is empty.
That's the Reverend Dr. Scott Black Johnston, and today he shares an inspiring message of Easter faith called Empty. I'm Peter Wallace. It's day one.
Welcome to Day One, the weekly program that brings you outstanding preachers from America's historic Protestant churches, sharing insight and inspiration from God's Word for your life. Now to introduce this week's preacher, here's our host, Peter Wallace.
Thank you, Sherry. The Lord is risen. And today on day one, as we celebrate the resurrection of the Lord, we're delighted to welcome the Reverend Dr. Scott Black Johnston, senior pastor of Fifth Avenue Presbyterian Church in New York City. Scott moved to the Manhattan Church in 2008 after serving as senior pastor of Trinity Presbyterian Church in Atlanta. Before that, he was a faculty member at Austin Presbyterian Theological Seminary in Austin, Texas. A graduate of St. Olaf College, Scott earned his Master of Divinity degree from Yale Divinity School and a PhD from Princeton Theological Seminary. He's the author of several books, including most recently, Elusive Grace, Loving Your Enemies While Striving for God's Justice. Scott, welcome to Day One and Happy Easter.
Christ is risen, Peter. It is wonderful to be with you on this Easter day.
You last preached on day one in 2018, and you've continued to serve as senior pastor of Fifth Avenue Presbyterian Church in Manhattan. What's happening there these days and how your people are serving the kingdom of God?
I think the big thing that's happened, of course, between 2018 and 2023 is, of course, the pandemic. Mm-hmm. And that rocked New York, as everyone knows, as it rocked the entire world. And a lot of what's happening now has to do with our responses to that. Mm-hmm. From an outreach perspective, we began a midday meal service right outside the church doors on 55th Street that we call a place at the table that is engaged both in serving the food insecure midday meals, but we also have medical and dental trucks that come. And so that we can immediately refer people for medical care or dental care if they need it. And then inside the church, we are now what people are starting to call a hybrid church, in that we began live streaming during the pandemic. And now most Sundays we have about 500 to 600 people in the building who are worshiping, and another 1,000 people online who are worshiping with us. And so it's an interesting dynamic, and it's making us think, how do we welcome and tend to the spiritual lives of folk who are primarily online, who are virtual members? We have members now who are in Phoenix, Arizona, and who are in Dallas, Texas, and who are in Hudson, Wisconsin. And so it's a fascinating sort of new day for the church.
Well, this is Easter Day. Hallelujah. Scott, how will your church celebrate this glorious event?
One of my favorite things that we do here at Fifth Avenue on Easter is we have a large life-size 12-foot-tall cross that is made out of reclaimed North Carolina barn wood, and it is an imposing thing. And we take it and we put it out on Fifth Avenue, and members of the congregation and passersby bring flowers from local bodegas or perhaps from their gardens if they have a garden, and we flower the cross. And it's always a moving thing to see all these people come and stick these different blooms onto the cross, and people take pictures out there. And that's one of my favorite Fifth Avenue Easter traditions. And, of course, the Easter Day Parade is going by on the street as worship gets out. And that's fun, too. You get to see all the exciting and many outrageous hats.
Your sermon is based on the account of the resurrection from Matthew chapter 28, and you'll read it for us in a moment. But you must have preached on Easter dozens of times, so what stood out for you in the story this time as you prepared your sermon?
On this particular go-round, I was really struck by the sort of contrast between our hearts that are afraid of emptiness, we're afraid of silence, we're afraid of moments when we might possibly be bored, and then Easter takes us to a place of emptiness, the tomb. And it's out of that that good news blossoms. So that notion of emptiness being the prelude to good news, that was the thing that grabbed me about the Matthew reading for this year.
Well, your sermon is titled Empty. Scott, thanks for sharing it with us.
Thank you, Peter. It is always a delight to be here with you.
And if you'd like to listen again to today's program with Scott Black Johnston with an extended interview, you can subscribe on your favorite podcast app to Day One Weekly Program. That's DAY numeral one weekly program. Or listen on our website at dayone.org. And if you'd like a free printed sermon transcript, just call us at 404-815-9110.
Listen now, my friends, for the proclamation our hearts yearn to hear, the story of the first Easter, as found in the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 28, beginning with the first verse. After the Sabbath, as the first day of the week was dawning, Mary Magdalene and the other Mary went to see the tomb. And suddenly there was a great earthquake, for an angel of the Lord, descending from heaven, came and rolled back the stone and sat on it. His appearance was like lightning, and his clothing white as snow. For fear of him, the guards shook and became like dead men. But the angel said to the woman, "Do not be afraid. I know that you are looking for Jesus, who was crucified. He is not here. For he has been raised, as he said. Come, see the place where he lay. Then go quickly and tell his disciples he has been raised from the dead, and indeed he is going ahead of you to Galilee. There you will see him. This is my message for you." So they left the tomb quickly, with fear and great joy, and ran to tell his disciples. Suddenly, Jesus met them and said, "Greetings." And they came to him, took hold of his feet, and worshiped him. Then Jesus said to them, "Do not be afraid. Go and tell my brothers to go to Galilee. There they will see me." Today is our high holy day. Easter is Christianity's big celebration. It is flashing trumpets. It is an embarrassment of flowers. It is robust singing. It is a packed house for a pull-out-the-stops shindig. Every year, as people file out of Fifth Avenue Presbyterian Church's lily-scented services, shaking my hand and stepping toward the funky embrace of the Easter Day parade, there's always some eager soul who says to me, "Wouldn't it be great if it were like this every Sunday?" I smile, a weary end-of-Holy Week smile. I nod, Today, I want to let you in on something. That nod is a lie. I do not want every Sunday to be like Easter, the same way I do not want every meal to be blueberry pie. And I really enjoy blueberry pie. You might call me, as my wife does, an Easter curmudgeon. And you would be right. It's not that I dislike Easter. My faith is grounded in this day. It wrestles with the meaning of this day, yearns for the truth of this day like no other day. I cherish Easter. So what's the source of my grumpiness? Well, I worry. I worry that in our rush to make a big deal about Easter, we sidestep the deep places this day wants to take us. During the height of the pandemic, when public figures claimed that Easter would be sad because sanctuaries would be empty, I scratched my head. When the Today Show runs a story entitled 11 Tips on How to Make Easter Special, I cringe. I know, these people are trying to keep our spirits up, but seriously, big crowds and Rice Krispie bunnies are not what makes Easter special. According to the Good Book, the first Easter was not a runway for displaying new outfits, pastel bow ties, and glorious hats. It was two women walking through a cemetery dressed in black, dressed in the clothes you wear when your heart is torn up by grief. The first Easter was not a chorus of angelic voices. It was, according to the Gospel of Matthew, an earthquake, a cataclysm that cracked stones and opened graves. It was an angel descending on the wings of a storm, an angel that looked, Scripture says, like lightning. The first Easter was not photos of a cozy brunch posted to Instagram. The disciples did not toast their good fortune with flutes of mimosas. On the first Easter, Christ's followers were in hiding. They were sheltering in place. They were shaking in terror, worried, if they stuck their heads out of doors, that they too would end up nailed to a cross. The first Easter wasn't a victory lap. It wasn't confetti and applause. It wasn't a celebration at all. The first Easter dawned on a world saturated with fear, haunted by death, shaken by God, and blessed by the loving actions of a few brave souls. All of which is to say, the first Easter was a lot like this Easter. There's hope to be found in this comparison, sturdy hope, stick-to-your-ribs hope, hope strong enough to lift even a curmudgeon's heart. Let's see if we can spot it. Let's start by looking at fear. The first Easter was soaked in fear. The Good Book makes this crystal clear. It's a refrain. The soldiers guarding the tomb of Jesus fall to the ground in fear. On seeing Mary Magdalene and the other Mary standing at the entrance to the tomb, the very first words out of the angel's mouth are, "Do not fear." When the women flee the garden cemetery, they run in fear. Fear was in the air that first Easter, and we can identify. Miroslav Volf, theologian at Yale Divinity School, recently observed, "Fear is like a virus. Fear is infectious." When we come in contact with others who are afraid, we become afraid too. We pass anxiety along from one person to another. What's the source of all this fear? Our anxiety comes from so many places. The brutal war in Ukraine makes us fearful. Fearful for those whose lives are being shredded by that terrible conflict. Fearful for humanity itself. We worry that the fabric of our own society has been torn beyond repair by angry politics. We fear for ourselves, too. We fear getting test results back from the doctor. We worry over children who struggle. We worry over our place in this world. All of this anxiety is rooted in the granddaddy of all fears, the fear of death. Nothing knocks our knees together like the Grim Reaper. Nothing pumps fear through our veins like picturing an empty grave waiting to claim us. Easter leans into this. Easter ushers anxious hearts right out to the cemetery. The two Marys are afraid. Who wouldn't be? They fear for their safety. They fear for their fading faith, their tattered hopes. They fear the forces of darkness have won and will always win. They fear the world is an irredeemably violent and malicious place, devoid of good and full of tombs that hold all that is dear to us. Death and fear perfume Easter. But here's the thing, and yes, this sentiment comes straight from my curmudgeon's heart. I take comfort in the fact that Easter starts this way. The backdrop to our holiest of days is dire. But this, my friends, this is what makes Easter special. This is why Easter matters. We celebrate that first fear-soaked Easter over and over because it was there, in the trenches of Holy Week, that we learned who God really is. God, it turns out, does not do distancing. God steps into places where death lurks and fear unspools us. God stands with us, always with us. And when our hopes teeter, God does what only God can do. The Almighty declares that Jesus, this wise teacher, this caring healer, this gracious friend, this beloved child of heaven, is not dead. Jesus is not finished, not now, not ever. The tomb is empty. And this changes everything. Matthew puts it like this: the two women left the tomb quickly with fear and great joy. Did you catch the shift? Fear hasn't been vanquished, not yet, but when Easter dawns, fear is joined by a companion, joy, great joy. Every Easter, at some point during the day, my phone rings. When I pick it up, a voice with no introduction, no pleasantries of any kind, declares, "Jesus is on the loose." The next sound I hear is the click of the connection ending. I know who it is. It's my roommate from seminary. It's his quirky way of saying Christ is risen. Over the years, other friends have joined in. Now I get all sorts of texts and emails declaring, "Jesus is on the loose." It wouldn't be Easter without this wild, joyful chorus. This rambunctious joy has its roots in the actions of Mary Magdalene and the other Mary. The two women race to tell the disciples, "The tomb is empty. He's out there. Death could not stop the goodness of God. The love of Christ persists. The promise endures. His outlandish promise, 'I am with you always,' it's true." Listen again to how Matthew describes it. "Then Jesus said to them, 'Do not be afraid. Go and tell my brothers to go to Galilee. There they will see me.'" He's out there. He's on the loose. You can find him in Galilee. You can find him in New York. You can find him in New Orleans. You can find him wherever fear and death haunt this mean old world. Is that true? Beth and Joe are members of a Presbyterian church in New Orleans. Beth has given me permission to tell this story to you. During the pandemic, Beth and Joe lived in the hottest of hotspots in the Big Easy, a place called Lambeth House. Lambeth House is a multi-phase retirement and care facility that lost over 36 residents to COVID. It was a particularly challenging time for Beth and Joe, two retired professors from Tulane. Beth, you see, lived in an apartment on one side of Lambeth House, while Joe, her husband, who suffered a severe stroke a few years ago, was locked down in the memory care section of the facility. before COVID, Beth went every day to Joe's room and wheeled him back to her apartment. There they would listen to books on tape, talk, and sing together. They always sang the same German hymn, Geh aus mein Herz und suche Freude, go out my heart and seek joy. And being professors, they sang their own translation. In fact, Beth and Joe retranslated this same hymn from German into English every single day. And every day for Joe, as a consequence of his strokes, was a little like starting over from scratch. When the memory care wing locked down, Beth could no longer wheel Joe back to her apartment to begin their daily translation. Finally, after 3 weeks of painful isolation, the facility set up a video chat for the couple. Once each day, for 20 minutes, they were able to talk. What did they talk about? Well, 20 minutes was enough time, Beth reports, to translate a single stanza of their favorite hymn. When they finished translating and singing, Beth would repeat three phrases that Joe came to call her litany. I love you. I miss you. I have not abandoned you. Do not be afraid, Jesus said to the women. Tell my brothers to go to Galilee. There they will see me. Fear and loss mark the start of our most sacred story. But then our anxiety comes face to face with history's most famous vacancy. On Easter, we cheer an empty tomb. The source of hope and joy for all humanity is not here. Our resurrected Lord is out there, in Galilee, binding the forces of chaos and death with a simple litany. I love you. I miss you. I will not abandon you. This, my friends, is the heart of Easter. Even in the hardest of times, especially in the hardest of times, God will not abandon us. Christ will find us. This is the truth that makes the women run, the faithful sing, and over which even curmudgeons cannot suppress their joy. What do you know? Jesus is on the loose. Friends, please hear the Easter proclamation as expressed by the Apostle Paul in his letter to the Corinthians. This is the good news we have received, in which we stand, and by which we are saved. God has given us a living hope. Christ is risen from the dead. Alleluia. Amen.
Our preacher today was the Reverend Dr. Scott Black Johnston, senior pastor of Fifth Avenue Presbyterian Church in New York City. For a free transcript of his Easter sermon titled Empty, call us at 404-815-9110. That's 404-815-9110. Or write to us at Day One, 2715 Peachtree Road, Atlanta, Georgia, 30305. Please keep in mind that Day One depends on the financial gifts of faithful listeners like you. Send your donation to Day One, 2715 Peachtree Road, Atlanta, Georgia, 30305. We're grateful for your help. And remember, to listen again to today's program, read the sermon transcript, search the sermon archives, and much more, you can visit us online at dayone.org. This is Peter Wallace. Next time on Day One, Dr. Scott Black Johnston returns with a powerful message for the second Sunday of Easter titled, The Loser Edit. Join us next week on Day One. Day One preacher Scott Black Johnston offers some final reflections about his Easter sermon, Empty. And Scott, you confess to being an Easter curmudgeon, and not because of the significance of the day, but because of the way so many people try to prettify it with pastel colors and chocolate bunnies. You pointed out that this first Easter was not a chorus of angelic voices or a runway for displaying new Sunday outfits. No, on this first Easter, there was fear. The disciples were hiding in terror. The first Easter, you said, dawned on a world saturated with fear, haunted by death, shaken by God, and blessed by the loving actions of a few brave souls. And so it was somewhat like Easter this year. I think we need that reminder that our current circumstances are really not much different than those back then. Everyone has and always has had challenges. Why is that an important notion to acknowledge?
I've put it like this. The Wall Street Journal ran a story recently about a church that for Easter is having an egg hunt, which is fine, and they're having a plane fly overhead with the Easter bunny jumping out of the plane with a parachute and parachuting down. And the Wall Street Journal interviewed the pastor, and they said, well, we're just trying to make Easter more exciting. and you know, God bless him, but if this story isn't exciting just in and of itself, then we're really missing something. And so it's exciting because of the proclamation it has, but it's also exciting because of the context it occurs in. It occurs after Good Friday. It occurs at a time when people are mourning, sad, scared, maybe even just plain terrified out of their minds. And it's into some pretty hard circumstances that the good news is proclaimed. And so to me, you know, we don't need bunnies and marshmallow chicks so much as we need this appreciation that this story isn't fluff. It's a word spoken into a time and into people's lives that are worried, concerned, a little bit wobbly, really.
God, it turns out, does not do distancing. Rather, God steps into places where death lurks and fear unspools us. God stands with us, always with us, you said, as evidenced in the empty tomb. And so the two women left the tomb quickly with fear and great joy. Joy in the midst of all this. Jesus is on the loose indeed. So the reality he told us is that God will not abandon us. Christ will find us. How can we grab onto that truth and run with it?
Yeah, pretty hard circumstances. I think we can grab onto that truth and run with it by listening to the angel's instruction, go seek him in Galilee. And what's there is permission to sort of be aware, to look around you and to see incidences in which the good news of God is present, in which you can look and say, there is something good happening. There is life in the face of death that is triumphing. There is Jesus on the loose. And so seek him in Galilee. That's where Matthew pushes us. That's where the angel in the gospel pushes us. I think that's our instruction for Easter. Seek him in Galilee.
Amen. Scott Black Johnston, thank you for being with us, and we look forward to having you back next week.
I look forward to it. Enjoy your Easter week.
The strife is o'er, the battle done, the victory of life is won, the song of triumph has begun.
Day One is the voice of America's mainline Protestant churches. Visit us online at dayone.org. Thank you for joining us. I'm Sherry Miller, wishing you all God's blessings on Day One and forever.